Father, I don't know if there are things that you want to speak into our lives, or if this is going to be a time when you just want us to be present with you, and you are present with us. But what, Father, with hearts that have different measures of longing, Lord, I know that at our core we long to be with you. So, Father, may you speak. May you move amongst us, ready to say whatever it is each individual needs to hear, ready to be with us in a way that each individual needs you to be with them. You say, seek your face. So, Father, your face we seek. In Jesus' name, amen. Ran across an article in Christianity Today from February 1st, 2018. It's written by a woman named Kimberly Pelletier. She writes this: sitting in a bookstore engrossed in a book on Christian leadership, I barely noticed the man sitting across from me reading. I thought very little of him until I was repeatedly interrupted by a sense of the Holy Spirit stirring within me. Talk to this man. He's longing for me. Despite repeatedly trying to ignore this prompting, ever been there? I couldn't shake the feeling, and I realized that I had reread the same sentence at least 4 times. And I might as well either give in to what the Spirit is asking of me, or I might as well leave the bookstore. I struck up a conversation about the book that he was reading, and he was surprisingly open about his ideas and his questions about God. And we were in the midst of discussing the forgiveness and the love of God when, as if disgusted by himself, he said, "But you don't even know the thoughts that I've had about you before you were talking. God doesn't forgive those kinds of thoughts." As a woman in my 20s, I had many acceptable responses to this sort of statement, including just leaving immediately. But almost to my surprise, something entirely unexpected came out of my mouth. God knows your thoughts. He's not shocked or disgusted by you as a man. He knows what you really long for. And none of this is about me right now. I could respond to this uncomfortable admission because I too knew what it was to feel sinful and awkward in the presence of a holy but loving God. My preparedness for this encounter had little to do with some sort of evangelistic expert, and more to do with my experience of God's love and knowing His heart. His love and His kindness had led me toward much needed repentance more times than I could ever recall. In that moment in the bookstore, I recognized the man's words as indicative that he was deprived of the love that I had so often encountered. Something inside me knew instinctively how to lead him there. I love that story. It fits perfectly with where we are going this morning. We are on this journey. This journey is about my best efforts, our best efforts to nurture disciples who make disciples among those who are not disciples, those who are beyond these four walls. It's not that we're not continuing to nurture passion followers of Jesus here. We are. But part of nurturing passionate followers here means that we become disciples who make disciples among those who are not disciples. If that's not a part of nurturing passionate followers of Jesus, we're not nurturing passionate followers of Jesus, because Jesus was passionate about those who were beyond these walls. Passionate about them. As we are talking about these, I'm talking about this on this journey, we are talking about some habits, some signposts, some actions, some action steps that we can take. Little things, there's not a big program that we're implementing, just little things that we can do that will make a big difference, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest seed that they knew of at that point in time, that when you plant it, it can grow up and to become one of the largest trees in the Middle East. Starts with the very small things. Little things make a big difference, is his point. So far, some of these seeds that we've been planted, these action steps that we've been looking for, that we've been implementing or talking about, is one is choose to bless others. And this wasn't just something that we were to learn about. This was something that we were to go and look for ways in which we could continually bless other people. Provide strength into their arms is the idea, to be able to meet them where they are. Much like this woman was a blessing to this man. The second one was to choose to be hospitable, to have a gospel-fostered open-heartedness for all people. Much like this woman was with this man. Hospitality is not something that just takes place within these walls and with those people that we are friends with. It goes way beyond that. Way beyond that. I read a quote by Tim Keller, a man who I have a deep respect for, from Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Manhattan, New York. He said this, "Often it is not through listening to preaching, but through listening to friends that brings us home spiritually." That's where we come in. Being willing to listen. I was talking with a young couple just before service started, and that's a role that they've had in another young couple's life. And they've seen amazing things come out of these little seeds. The third habit, the third idea, the third signpost that we're looking at today is to learn to listen to the Spirit. Learning to listen to the Spirit. I originally called this point, choose to listen to the Spirit. But I realized that we need to learn how to choose to listen to the Spirit. It's not that it's really hard. It's just, we don't necessarily know how. Now, many will find listening to the Spirit and talking about this topic to be kind of spooky. So those stranger things. But here's the point. God is one who, we have a Father who loves to communicate. And He does it through His Word. He does it through His Spirit. And He does it in the midst of community. And it's a good thing, because listening to the Spirit is essential to fulfilling our mission that Jesus said was being salt and light, part of the core identity that we talked about almost 2 months ago. It's essential to fulfilling our mission as salt and light. Shouldn't surprise us. We're not going to be salt and light just on our own power, just on our own wisdom, our own strength. If that's the case, we're going to burn out really quickly. Jesus was dependent upon listening to the Spirit. At the very orientation of His ministry, after He was baptized, it says that the Spirit thrust Him into the wilderness, led Him there. And then we talked about John 4. about how the Spirit, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? Because that's where the Spirit was leading him. If Jesus needs the Spirit to lead him, to guide him, how much more so do we, if we are going to live as salt and light? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus meets with his disciples right before the ascension. And he says this to them. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but instead wait for the gift." I love that. The gift that my Father promised to you. We've talked about this, which you've heard me speak about. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As we were worshiping this morning, this baptism motif, this image of baptism just came to my mind, and I was just remembering when I was baptized, and I was remembering when I've had the privilege of baptizing many of you. When you go underneath the water and you're just surrounded by the Spirit, or you're surrounded by the water. And I thought, Lord, how much more is that true of being baptized in the Spirit? Now it's less tactile and it's kind of more, I don't know, existential, if that's the right word. But how much more is it when we are just enveloped by and indwelt by your Spirit? But you will be baptized with the Spirit. And then in verse 8, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. In Acts 2, that was pretty exciting. If you want to read about it, it was pretty exciting. And we see that as sort of the initiation, the coming of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon the church. And it was just a glorious time. It was a glorious time. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be empowered to be," is the idea, "you will be empowered to be my witnesses in Jerusalem," those who are right around you, "in Judea," those who are beyond, outside of your presence, "and Samaria," those you guys don't even like. You will be empowered to be my witnesses. Why does Jesus say that? Because we need to be empowered to be his witnesses. Amen? That takes his empowerment to do this. We need his power to be his salt and be light. Because we are on his mission and not ours. We need his power to be salt and light because the world that we live in belongs to the kingdom of darkness. We need his power to be salt and light because the people that we walk among are deceived by the power of the kingdom of darkness. That's why we need this empowerment. We need this Spirit to lead us. We need the Spirit to empower us, to turn fear into courage. We need the Spirit to turn confusion into clarity. We need the Spirit to turn complacency into grit, into a willingness to say, "Lord, I'm in. I'm not going to settle into the status quo anymore. But I need your Spirit to make my life stinking uncomfortable. Unless I'm willing to do that." The role of salt, as our role of salt and light, is not a walk in the park. Instead, we are participating in what is seen in Scripture is as a cosmic war. And we need the Spirit's power and we need personal grit. The Spirit will provide the power, and we get to provide the grit. We get the grit when we understand who we are and what we are about. Without these, we will throw in the towel, we will become complacent, we will be overcome by our fears, and we will withdraw to the holy huddle of these four walls. And suddenly, the out there just fades into a fog, and we just kind of come here and we say, I'm all in here. Out there, not so much. But here, yeah. We'll just learn to accept the status quo. Now, through His power, through His baptism of the Spirit, we are placed into the body of Christ. We are indwelt. But through that, the Holy Spirit begins to work. And we begin to offer ourselves to Him, and He begins to direct us. Now, the Holy Spirit will direct us in many, many ways. And it can oftentimes be very unpredictable. I don't want to make this harder than it is, because it's a relational thing. It's not like we're receiving a download or anything like that. It's not weird. But the Spirit will lead us. And sometimes He speaks to us directly. I don't care what the lady from The View said about Mike Pence's Christianity. When she says, I don't remember what she said. He was part of a cult. Insane. He was insane. I'm sorry. The inmates are running the asylum. All right? But sometimes He speaks to us directly. And He looks and He impresses upon us and says, you got to go do this. Go do this. Much like Kimberly Pelletier said, I thought very little of this man until I was repeatedly interrupted by a sense of the Holy Spirit stirring within me. Talk to this man. He's longing for me. Sounds spooky, but it is not without precedent. It's a very biblical idea. The fact that sometimes He speaks directly to us. In Acts chapter 8, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? Said the man, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in his chariot. And they talk about it. Philip explains what's going on, and the man believed. And then they continued down the road, and they came upon some water, and the Ethiopian eunuch was who he's known as. Said to Philip, look, here's water. What can stand in my way of being baptized? Is there any reason why I should not be baptized at this point in time? Philip says, got me. Let's stop right here and we'll baptize you. Why? Because the Spirit spoke directly to Philip. Was it a voice where he heard words, or was it an impression? I don't really know. It doesn't really matter to me. The point is Philip understood it as the Spirit speaking to him. But Martin, how does this happen? How can this happen with me? I often think about this, and it can happen as we are mindful. As we are mindful, as we're talking with people, or as we're seeking the Father, where we say, just Father, how should I respond? As I listen to this person speak, as I sit across from this person at Starbucks, as I sat next to him, next to them in a plane. And they start to talk. Father, how should I respond? What, is there anything you want me to say? If so, just make that clear. It happens as we are mindful. But it's always important that we listen before we speak. The Spirit may give us words of wisdom, may give us what's called words of knowledge, to know things that we otherwise would never know. But we'll never be willing to listen if we're not mindful. It's a posture that we take as we are with people. We've seen it happen within this church. Think of a time when Larry, we had a man here who was, his name was Dan Atwood, good friend of mine. He was the elder, a chairman of our elder board, and just a very godly man. He used to be a pastor in Hawaii, and he took up teaching up in Bonnie Lake, and he attended here. Good friend, still good friends to this day. He's now pastoring our sister church over in Spanaway. At the time, Dan was thinking, should I go? And because they'd asked him to come and to candidate there. And Dan, this is a very, very sick church. It was almost dead. So Dan was really unsure as to whether or not to do what to do. And Dan had not shared this with a lot of people at that point in time. And as we were worshiping that morning, Larry and one other gentleman got up, just had this impression. I'm just going to call it what it is. The Lord spoke to him, right? Think I'm weird. That's okay. It was Larry. And he just had this message, and it was this. Whatever it is you're considering doing, go and do it. Something to that effect. Which was just a confirmation to Dan that he should do it. And Dan's been over there now for 20 years. And the church is thriving. It's thriving. Dan asked me one point, should I go over there? I says, Dan, I don't know. There are just some things that are almost dead, should be dead. It was just going to be a nightmare. That's why God didn't speak to me on that topic. But Larry is a mindful man. Be mindful. Listen before you speak. It can happen as we are mindful, and it often happens unexpectedly. When a response pops into your mind or whatever, and you weren't even trying to be mindful, suddenly something just comes to your mind, but you have this posture in your life where you really want to hear from the Spirit, you really want to communicate what the Father's heart is towards another person. A response pops into your mind. So sometimes the Spirit speaks to us directly. Other times He asks us to discern. Sometimes when we're in the midst of this stuff, we ask the question, Lord, I'm not sure what to say. And the Lord says to me, He'll ask me this question, Martin, what do you think needs to be said? You know my heart. You know my ways. Represent me to this person. You know my heart, you know my ways. You know me based upon who I am. What do you think your friend needs to hear? As you sit and talk with them. Represent me. But this requires that we know our Father, His character, His ways. Requires that we know Him really well. If we are ambassadors for our Father's kingdom in this foreign land, which we are, we must know our Father's hearts, our Father's ways, and our Father's plans. We must be a student of who He is. That's what I love about Paul's prayer for the Philippians. In Philippians 1, he says, and this is my prayer again and again and again for you, that your love for the Father may abound, it may spill over more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. What Paul is saying is, I want you to know your Father. I want you to know His heart for you. I want you to know His ways for you. I want you to know His heart for people. I want you to know His ways for people. I don't need to tell you to do everything. You know me. I want you to know me so that you can represent me well. Pray that your heart may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best. In other words, that you may be able to discern how to respond, how to make choices, how to engage another person. But it starts with knowing our Father, His heart and His ways. As a CASA, as I sat with the mother of the child for whom I was representing, the mother had struggled for many, many years with drug and alcohol abuse. And as I sat with her in a meeting, determining the future, she was sharing her once again relapse, I was just overwhelmed with this question, and I asked the question. They just opened up her heart. As I stood with her outside of the courtroom, I said, Father, I have no idea what to say to this person. And I was impressed with this message. And that is, you don't have to walk this alone. You have one who wants to be your Father, who loves you deeply. That was the second conversation I had with her about that. As a woman who had been abused by her father. You mean a father can care about me? That's what we talked about. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, it's beautiful. The question would be, why doesn't the Spirit clearly direct us all the time? You know, why doesn't the Spirit always say, okay, Martin, now go do this? Or Roger, do that. Why doesn't He always tell us, okay, turn left here? Sort of like Siri. You know, I love Siri. I don't even have to think about where I'm going. Siri just tells me, turn left in 20 feet. I can do that. My wife hates my affair with Siri. There are times when she will say, why don't you just ask me? I hadn't thought about that. I like to be directed step by step. Why doesn't the Spirit do that? In my experience in life, the Spirit has done that when I was a child in the faith. I could tell you stories. When I was a child in the faith, I needed someone to tell me exactly what to do next, much like I would do with my children when they were young, young children. If I were still having to do that with them, there would be a problem at 33, 28, and 25, right? Why? As they are young, they need step-by-step instruction. But as they grow older, they grow in wisdom, the ability to make decisions in a way that are in keeping with who they are. So that as they grow older, they are now able to make their own decisions. As much as I want to tell them what they should do, they can say, Dad, I've got this. Why are you laughing, Emily? Emily is married to my middle son. It's the last thing I should be doing is telling them what to do. Emily's going, yeah. But I've got some good ideas, Emily. I hadn't even thought about that. See, that's the way it is. Oftentimes the Father will say, yes, I want you to do this right here, right now. And He may even do that in our adult years. But as we mature, we become more and more familiar with our Father, and then we can begin to represent Him well. And there will still be times when He will say, do this. But they are less frequent in my experience than they were in my younger years. Many times the Spirit will just say, or I will just get this impression, or I will just have nothing and say, you know what, right now I don't have anything to say. I have no wisdom to discern, and I have no direction. So I'm just going to shut up. And I'm just going to wait. Because now is not the time to speak, or now is not the time to be spiritual. Now is just the time to be present, to have fun, and to enjoy. To hear their story, to be a part of their lives. And that's good. Learning to listen to the Spirit, though, will stretch us. It will stretch us. It causes us to live a life of preparation. It causes us to live a life where we are continually, in increasing measure, more and more prepared for whatever the Lord has for us that day, that week, that month. Kimberly Pelletier ends her article with this statement. I've looked back on this conversation with this man, thinking through all the details. Certainly I can see the power of the Holy Spirit, His talking to me when I communicated something from God I barely expected to do. But there is more. Is there a way that we can continually prepare our hearts to love others in their awkward, sinful, sometimes even offensive behaviors? And I would say yes. It begins here in being able to hear the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit means we begin here our identity. Embrace who we are and whose we are. And remember how we got here. Now what I mean by that is this. Yesterday, I went down to one of my favorite places in Eatonville called the Bakery. I did have a donut. It's really good. And I had a cup of coffee and I was working on this. And in after me came this group of 20-something women. And they sat down at the table right next to me. Now, whenever I'm in a coffee shop, you'll usually almost always see me with headphones in. It doesn't mean I'm listening to something. It just means I'm blocking out noise. Okay? So I had my headphones in, and as these women were talking, they were talking about womanly things. And I wasn't really paying attention until this one thing. By the way, it's amazing what people will talk about in a coffee shop as if they're the only ones there. I mean, it's more intimate than the confessional in the Catholic Church. They would never say some of these things if they had a priest. Especially a pastor, but yet, here I am in this coffee shop, this bakery. So this gal would say, yeah, this so-and-so woman asked me what my husband did for a living as if it was her business. And I looked at her and she said in a very loud voice, I'm not married, I'm living in sin. Really? I looked up, I had this mixture of emotion within me of mournfulness and indignance. I was mournful, like, wow, that makes me sad. I was indignant, like, you're proud of that? I was happening to be working on this section right here. And I was overwhelmed with remorse over my indignance. Because I thought, I know this woman from nowhere, but I assume that she was raised probably in a religious home of some sort to some degree, because she understood at least some ethic, moral ethic. I'm living in sin. Okay, she knew about that. It didn't bother her, but she knew about that. And I thought, Martin, you don't even know her story. You know nothing about her. How could you be indignant towards her? All right, Lord, you know what? Yeah, that was just the old version of Martin. That was version 1.0 of Martin. I'm up to at least 2.5 now. And I thought, you know what, Martin? There's no reason for indignance here. What there is justification for is, if she was sitting right before you, what would you say to her? And I'd probably say nothing other than this. Tell me your story. Tell me your story. Because I really want to get to know you. I want to get to know what formed you. And that's much more Jesus-like than version 1.0 of Martin Schlomer. A much better version of that. Because like Kimberly Pelletier, I don't know, millions of times I've been confronted by the Lord for my own sin. I may not have lived in sin like she has with another person, but I have up here. I must know whose I am and who I am. And that Jesus received my judgment. That Jesus reached out and gave me his acceptance. That Jesus gave me his righteousness. That Jesus has adopted me and given me my sonship. It's all Jesus. That's what we do. So part of preparing to hear and engage others and to hear from the Spirit is to be rooted deeply in who we are. Understanding how in the world we got here. No one else needs to hang on the cross. Now this brings some peace. I'm not ready yet. This brings some peace. Into which then I welcome others. Because if I'm at peace here, then I can be at peace here. And that woman sitting in front of me at the Eatonville Bakery can be welcomed into that peacefulness and quite possibly experience that peace. Okay? Now, someone has a question up there. How do we know if the Spirit and not our inner selves are speaking into our minds? I get to know my Father's voice. I get to know my Father's voice. Now, what does that look like? When Kim and I flew back on the airplane from Des Moines, Iowa, a few weeks ago, we were split up. And we both had the dreaded middle seat. I'm not a big guy, but the two guys on either side of me were larger than I am. And so I was just really uncomfortable. It had been an intense few days, and I just wanted to zone out. You know, if I had those Bose Q15 headphones, noise canceling, I would have had them on. So I'm sitting next to her, and there's this older gentleman sitting there, and we're getting ready to take off. And so he said, so we're in Omaha. He said, so you live in Omaha? I really don't want to talk to you. And I said, no. Why? I didn't say this. Why in the world would anyone live in Omaha? I did not say that. I live in just southeast of Seattle. Oh. Then he asked the terrifying question, what do you do for a living? I did not lie, but I was tempted. I'm a counselor. No. I like you, Don. What I did was I learned a tactic of diverting the conversation. And I said, so do you live in Omaha? He says, yeah, I have a little farm out there. And I said, oh, so you've been a farmer all your life, huh? He says, no, actually, I've been a pilot. I used to fly these things. And there's something within me that says, you know, Martin, why are you ashamed of being a pastor? Just be who you are. And no, I don't want to be who I am when I'm sitting pressing the flesh with this guy right next to me. And then we stopped and I put my earbuds in. I wasn't listening to anything. I was pretending. But the entire time I was thinking, Lord, do you want me to say something? Because I really don't want to. But at that point, I just kind of drowned it out. And it was probably just me. I have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. And I got off the flight. There was a couple times he tapped me and he says, asked me a question. I took the headphone out because I didn't want him to know that I wasn't listening to something. If I talk with him when the headphones is, it becomes obvious. All right? See, I'm really good at this. Next time you see me at Starbucks and I take the headphone out, you can say, you've been caught. You're not really listening to it. You're just pretending. But he said, you know, that's Sun River right over there. I said, oh, really? He knew all the landmarks. But as I walked off the plane, I thought, Lord, I really blew it because I really needed to trust what I was sensing in my spirit. You need to get to know your Father's voice. But secondly, and Brian's going to talk more about this in 2 weeks, you need to know the heart and the ways of your Father, of Jesus, and be able to sense, yes, this is consistent with who He is. And you know what? Sometimes we'll get it right, other times we won't. And that's okay.
I think, too, how you answer that is, when you have a question, you're like, hey, is this God? Is this me? Does it align with Scripture? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's really what you're getting to. Is
that
when
is
it
so
align...
theologically correct.
I'm
telling story. You're giving theology, all right?
Because you have the concrete. You're like, but you didn't answer it concretely.
That's right.
So, like, does it align with Scripture? Does it align with wisdom? Because if it is from God, it's going to align with Scripture and it's going to align with wisdom.
Yeah, and does it align with the Father's heart?
Yeah.
Does align with the Father's heart.
So at that point, is it indigestion or is it the Spirit? I don't know, but it aligns with wisdom and it aligns with God's heart. Like, stop asking that question, because I think a lot of times we do rationalize. Well, I didn't necessarily hear anything. Did he really, like, we did what you did, which is not good.
I hang my head in shame. Thank you for pointing that out, Brian.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
But you just get to, you know, it's like a mother's mother when she has a child. A mother can hear her child's voice on a playground filled with kids, right? And it's just becoming in tune with it. So you got to embrace who you are and whose you are. Secondly, make time to be quiet and listen. I have a lot of books on listening to the Spirit, and I've read most of them years ago, and then I got tired of reading them because they make it so much more complex than what I really think it is, because it's a relationship. It's really a relationship. That's the bottom line. Are we listening? And so are we responding? Or are we ignoring? Kind of like what husbands or wives do to each other and you just pretend you didn't hear. But make time and be quiet and listen. Pull aside. Jesus made it very clear. Jesus always had to pull aside from the frantic life. In Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark. I love that. Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary, a quiet place where he prayed. Jesus had to pray. He had to have time of quiet because it was in that time of quietude where he connected with who he was. It was in that time of quietude where he was reminded about what he was about. It was in that time of quietude where he was prepared for what was coming. Okay? And there will be times when the Spirit will speak to you in that time of quiet through the Word or through the Spirit himself. Or that will be, there will be times when he doesn't, but that time is a preparation for something he will let you know about later. I don't know how many times I've gotten absolutely nothing out of my time with the Lord in the morning, and then something hits me the day after that goes directly back to that moment in time. It's a time of preparation. Time of preparation. Martin, I don't have time. You got to make time. You know how annoying those safety lectures are on a plane before they take off? Okay, we're going to let you know the safety features of this plane and what you need to do. And, you know, everybody tunes out at that point. But they always have that mask that drops down if there's an emergency. And they always say this, put the mask on yourself first before you try to put it on someone else. Because you got to make sure that you're taken care of if you're going to be able to speak and be there for another person. Right? That's the idea. You need to be patient. Because there's a lot of impatience. I don't know how many times I've said, Lord, speak to me now. Lord says, all right, I'm just going to shut up until you're willing to be patient. And be responsive. Don't do what I did to that man on the plane. That's not salt and light. That's not salt and light. Learn to listen to the Spirit. Learn to listen to the Spirit. I'm over time. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, you are so unpredictable. And you have such a great capacity for humor. Father, you crave that we would long and that we would listen. So, Father, may that be the case as we move out from here, just to take three times this next week, Father, where we pull aside and we prepare our hearts and you prepare us for what you have for us as we seek to listen, as we are with those who are not disciples. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand.